This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everyone from around the world, and thanks for joining us on another great episode of Baseball Outside the Box, the show that brings you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds who love the challenge of status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. We are currently live on Facebook. Welcome, everybody, on Facebook. If you've got any questions for our guest today, just write them down on the Facebook page there, and I'll be able to read them. We'll try to get to them the best we can if we're able to do that, hopefully. Don't forget, you can also see all the shows on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/baseballoutsidethebox. We have lots of instructional tips, instructional videos on there. Go see them. They are fantastic. And thank you to the Lineup Media Group Studios for hosting the show. They've got a lot of shows, so go check them out at lineupmediagroup.com. And if you're a new listener, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com. Go to Stitcher or the iTunes logo. You can join the show, get updates all the time. If you're a loyal listener, please do us a favor. And if you love the show, give us a 5-star rating. That really helps. We are all over social media. We are big on the development of the game long term when it comes to coaches, players, and parents. Go to Twitter at Baseball Out. There we have also many videos and tips every day. And you can also, you know, interact with us, ask us questions, anything you like on Twitter, and we'll get back to you instantly. All right, we are excited again about another show. We're going to continue our series on coaching coaches with this episode focusing on Major League Baseball's coaching and player development program around the world. You are going to love this because they are making a major impact when it comes to the game development at all over the world. Our guest today, the senior manager of Major League Baseball's International Baseball Operations Department, Joel Araujo. And I know I want to make sure I get that right. I even practiced it, and Joel's going to tell me if I got it right or not. But Joel leads the group's talent development efforts abroad since joining Major League Baseball in 2008. He's been involved with nearly every aspect of international baseball operations, from contracts and visas to winter leagues and international talent procurement. He founded the Major League Baseball's Amateur Prospect League, which gives Dominican prospects a weekly opportunity to showcase their talents before officials from over 30 major league clubs, and the first ever Major League Elite Development Program for Puerto Rican high school players. You're going to hear more about that. These programs now operate in various markets in North Central South America. Now, Araujo also established the Major League International Showcase, an event which allows clubs to view and evaluate the best international amateur talent on the market. Now, here's the best part, as well as the coaching development program, a 2-week course that trains coaches from Latin America so they can better develop players in their home countries. And in the last 4 years, they've trained over 500 coaches from 30 different countries in four continents, have completed the coaching curriculum. This is a real good one. We're going to talk about that. And he continues to expand Major League Baseball's efforts all over the world. And now he lives in the Bronx. Obviously, he's in his office there in Major League Baseball right now. So we want to welcome Joel. How you doing? You're on Baseball Outside the Box. Thanks for being on.
Thanks so much for having me, Pete. It's a pleasure. I appreciate the invitation and talk a little baseball and our coaching efforts around the globe. So I'm excited to be on and excited to start the conversation.
All right. Now, I'm going to preface it and let our audience know you're on Facebook because I practice, but I know I'm going to mess up. So it is Joel Araujo. Did I get that right?
Well, I've heard a lot worse, so that's not bad. It's Joel Araujo. But that was close enough. I know my last name especially is a little tough.
Araujo. All right, we're going to stick with Joel for right now. It's going to make it a lot easier for me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, let's do this. Let's start the show and talk about Major League Baseball's efforts around the world and when it comes to the development of players and coaches. Let us know what you're currently working on, you know, a little bit about the program.
Yeah, so once again, thanks for the opportunity. And yeah, we so I oversee a department called talent development started by Kim Ng when she came to the commissioner's office in 2011. And our focus is primarily on targeting different countries and seeing how we can help baseball grow on the operational side in these different countries. We've taken a country-specific approach to every country. So when we first started in the Dominican Republic, we started doing showcases. So in the DR, players get trained every single day by these independent trainers, and they do a good job of producing ball players. So our focus there wasn't necessarily on player development, but more geared towards providing our clubs and our evaluators with as much information as possible at the time that they're going to make the decision on who to sign. So, which is why we focus on doing showcases there, so they can see them in enough at bats and see them pitching enough times, as well as our amateur prospect league. So it's all to facilitate our clubs evaluating the talent, so they can make better informed decisions when they sign them come July 2nd. So that's what we did in the DR, but the DR is very different from, let's say, Puerto Rico, where in Puerto Rico, our focus was a little bit more focused on helping the player development side on the island. You know, baseball had dropped a little bit in Puerto Rico. We weren't seeing as many players drafted as we did in the past. So out in Puerto Rico, most players either focus on training in one of the academies, but you have to have certain resources to attend these academies. We focus on the group that couldn't go to the academies. So we created a development program where kids could go, where we would select kids, we would do national tryouts across the island, select the top talent, and then we'd have them train 3 days a week with some of our top coaches, 3 hours each practice. And we started that in 2013 as a pilot program in the San Juan area, and we've since expanded to 5 different regions of the island. So all these kids are training free of charge with MLB-trained coaches and a lot of, you know, former big leaguers, Jose Vidro, Tony Valentin, Hiram Bocachica, just to mention a few. Raul Casanova was part of the program. So we had a lot of guys who played in the big leagues and played some minor league ball, who were now giving back to these young kids up and coming in Puerto Rico. So that's kind of just an example of some of the things that we started. But it's very country specific. It's not cookie cutter. You know, we know that every country has its own idiosyncrasies. So we want to respect that. And in order to best address the baseball operations need of that country, we think it's important to get in there and kind of, you know, get a good lay of the land before we start a program up.
Now, you've got a huge, obviously, undertaking because of the fact that there's over 120 countries playing baseball worldwide. How do you identify the certain countries? And then, as you mentioned, you tailor it to a country, which is fantastic. How do you identify certain countries and when it comes to the development of players?
Yeah. You know, people, what we've found is that the country kind of will let us know. You know, we're big on creating partnerships internationally. We don't ever want to be you know, the sole responsible party for growing the game in a country. We think it's just very hard to do that way. Mm-hmm. We think it's important to find local partners that are committed to growing the game of baseball. And once we find these partners, we're very excited and eager to work with them. And that's what's happened. You know, a good example of that is Nicaragua. You know, most people don't consider Nicaragua as a baseball hotbed, but you'll be surprised. It's the number one sport in the country. And everyone, you know, lives and breathes baseball in Nicaragua. And we found with the Baseball Federation in Nicaragua, we found a willing and able partner. And we've started an academy, a baseball development academy in Nicaragua. Wow. We also do showcases there, and we also have an amateur prospect league in Nicaragua. So, you know, these are long-term projects where we got to give it some time to see the results, but we're very excited as to the direction that it's going in and what we've seen so far in just a short amount of time in Nicaragua. In the next couple of years, we're going to hear some big name signings from young, you know, in the international market, kids sign at the age of 16 for the most part. So we're going to see some of these 16-year-old, you know, bonus babies starting to make noise and get into our system in the next couple of years. And these are kids that our coaching staff and our development program has personally developed. So we're excited about that.
Well, that's great. And, you know, right now, I just want you to spend a little time, talk to some of the U.S. players. You know, obviously, it's going to entail, you know, players all over the world. But this is something I think that's important because the game is growing so much worldwide. It's becoming so competitive. And, you know, and we've got the Dominican, Venezuela, Nicaragua. You know, when it comes to North, Central, South America, you've got the Cubans. But talk to our players. It's getting more and more competitive. And I just feel sometimes like our players, young players here in the States, get a little bit lazy. You know, they think just because they're going to play in the States that they're going to progress when it comes to high, college and pro ball and all that. But it's getting real competitive, and they really need to maintain their passion and aggressiveness and training here in the U.S.
Yeah. So, no, definitely. I think we've seen over the last several years, the game is becoming, you know, more global every day. It's very strong internationally. The sport is very strong internationally. You know, we're coming off of the heels of a great WBC. This version was very, very exciting. And I think we saw the fans come out a little bit more. But yeah, the numbers are pretty impressive. I don't know if many know, but most of our international players come from either the Dominican Republic, and Venezuela. And, you know, every year, when as first year signings, our kids coming into our system, it's the equivalent of the U.S. draft. And every year we're getting about 400, almost 500 players, new players from the Dominican Republic into our system. And in Venezuela, it's 200 plus, you know. Wow. So just with those two countries, we're looking at almost 700, you know, international players coming into our system yearly. So, you know, it's evidence as to the growth of baseball in Latin America and in some of these other countries, too. It's starting to pick up. You know, our big competition is soccer. And sure. I don't know if we're ever going to, you know, it's a big undertaking to beat soccer. But I think in some of these non-traditional baseball countries, we are starting to make some headway. So, sure. Yeah, the game is continuing to grow. Our office is focused on continue to globalize our sport. You know, I can relate because I'm U.S. born and raised, and I have two sons who are playing baseball here in the United States. And yeah, here it's a little bit different. Where, you know, in some of these other countries, you know, again using the Caribbean, it's all baseball all the time.
Right.
Where our kids here in the States have some other activities, other distractions, other interests. But yeah, the competition is fierce. The competition is fierce because it is growing, and we're seeing more players coming outside of the U.S. More and more every single day.
Well, you know, I'm lucky as you are to be able to travel the world and be able to see the different perspectives of the game. And I love going to Latin America for one main reason. They just love the game and they play it with passion. And it doesn't matter what, you know, equipment they have, you know, and they don't worry about the bases 60 feet, the pitching mound 60 feet, 6 inches, the bases 90 feet. They just lay the bases down, play the game, have fun and develop. Tell us the Dominican, especially. You see
sometimes
a lot of young
kids. Even
without
bases, Pete.
And that's what's great about the game in those countries. And sometimes we forget, you know, we get too organized here in the U.S. We got to let the kids play a little bit. So tell us about Latin America, what you really like about it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's the passion is palpable. You can feel it when you go to some of these countries. You know, I use the example of Nicaragua. I mean, baseball reigns supreme over there. And there are no obstacles to playing baseball. You know, and the focus is not always just money. It's the sport that they love. It's the sport that they grew up with, you know, their parents. It's part of the culture in Latin
sure.
America. I guess that's probably the best way to describe it. And you know, for a baseball lover as I am, it's great to be around because you see the joy, you see the passion, you see the enthusiasm, even how they play the game. It really is a great experience.
Well, it's also an opportunity for them to get off the islands and to be
Absolutely.
Able to come to the U.S. and play baseball.
Yep. Yeah, it's an opportunity. But even those who don't get off the island, because again, the competition is not only fierce on the domestic side, it's fierce, you know, on the international side, you know, even in the country, even mm-hmm. those who don't get off the island, still, you know, breathe baseball all the time. It's what you're watching on TV. It's what you're talking about at your job. You know, it's baseball all the time.
Now, if you're talking to coaches out there and you describe the Dominican or Latin America, what do you think makes them the players they are?
Yeah, I think we touched on it with the passion. You know, in Latin America, the game is played with a flair, but they use it as a way to express themselves. And they're just having fun. They're just having fun. And I think that's contagious. You know, we talk a lot lately about, you know, baseball and being fun. There's evidence of that in Latin America. And I think pretty much anywhere you go. And again, going back to what we saw this year at WBC, how much fun was that?
Yeah.
You know, everybody was having a great time. And I think that's what you're going to find in most of these Caribbean countries.
Now, you guys are also, you've done an amazing job. You've got over 500 coaches that you've trained, but you run a 2-week development program for coaches. I believe that's in the Dominican Republic. And tell us about that program a little bit.
Yeah, so actually that we started the first iteration of that was in the Dominican Republic, but we've now since taken it on the road. So, yeah, the genesis behind that was historically, and not just our office, I think in general, most people when they're teaching baseball, the focus has been on baseball clinics, you know, 3 to 5 day clinics, and either you're providing clinics, you're giving instruction either to the players or you're doing clinics for the coaches. When I took over in this role, I just felt like that wasn't the most efficient way to do it. You know, we would go to a place and we'd do a 3 to 5 day clinic, but then you leave, and then, you know, you don't have that consistent and that consistency and that continuity to continue with the players. So, you know, we made a targeted effort to now focus on coaches, believing that, you know, if we properly train the local coaches, they're the ones who are going to stay with the players long term. And if they're properly trained, they're going to be able to give, you know, good instruction to the players. But 3 days to me wasn't enough. There's so much involved in coaching that 3 days just wasn't enough for me. So we actually took the model from scout school. There's a scout school program that MLB has been running for years, and it's an intense program. So that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to, in the amount of time that allotted, which is, you know, 8 to 10 days usually, we try to give as much information as possible to the coaches in every area of coaching. So we know, especially in on the international front, also on domestic, but on the international front, you don't have the luxury of having a pitching coach and a hitting coach and an infield coach.
Right.
You know, it's one guy, right? It's usually one or two guys, and they have to do it all. So we created the curriculum based off of that target audience. So, you know, we'll have our coach development program. We have a hitting instructor who will go, you know, for 45 minutes, let's say the first day, he'll go for 45 minutes on a very specific topic of hitting, you know, whether it be, you know, your the bat grip or whether it be your balance, whatever it is. And he'll focus on those 45 minutes then in a lecture style setting. So we're in the classroom for the morning and each instructor would go through their topic. Then later on in the afternoon, we'll break for lunch, and in the afternoon, we'll go to the field, and we'll now emphasize what we talked about in the classroom. We'll emphasize that on the field and demonstrate with some players there that we'll use to help us demonstrate. And we do this every day, and we try to go through as much of, you know, everything you can possibly cover on the coaching end. We try to get through as much of that within that time frame. We give pop quizzes for the people taking the course. We do a full evaluation at the end of the course. So we'll give each participant an evaluation that talks about their strengths and their weaknesses.
That's great.
You know, and we're there to answer questions. We make sure no one mails it in. I mean, it's 12-hour days every single day. So it's funny because a lot of times, you know, in terms of expectation, the coaches taking the course don't know what to expect. And they think, well, I'm going to the Dominican Republic for a couple of days. And they're thinking, well, I'll have time to, you know, see the sights or go to the pool. And it ends up they never have time. It's 12-hour days. They're exhausted at the end. And then the next day we start all over again. But the bond that is formed during those days, the camaraderie among the coaches, it becomes an emotional experience for everyone involved, for our coaching staff, the guys who are giving the course, for the people taking it, for our off-the-field staff. It becomes an emotional experience. And when we think about it, coaching is an emotional experience, right?
Sure.
As much as we're talking about X's and O's during the course and we talk about drills and mechanics, obviously, and all of that stuff, the focus, we end up noticing that it becomes about, you know, the emotional attachment to coaching and giving back. We focus on the patience that a coach needs to have mm-hmm. with the player, not only to get the best out of him on the field, but off the field. We're trying to, you know, we're impacting young men and women.
Sure.
And we focus on the seriousness of that and the respect and the privilege that these men and women have to have the opportunity to impact these kids. It's a great experience to a man. Everyone who goes through it, I think, feels that they're better coaches leaving the experience, but
sure.
also that they've been impacted on a personal level as well. So it's something we're very proud of. Like I said, we've taken it on the road now. So now we'll go to specific countries, as opposed to just inviting a couple of coaches into the Dominican. We'll go to El Salvador. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll go to Germany. We'll go to, you know, Brazil. We'll go to Nicaragua. We'll go to South Africa. You know, and we feel like we can impact more people when we go to their countries and impact their coaches. So we limit it to 30 coaches. You know, we'd like to keep it small because of the impact that we want to have.
Mm-hmm,
you know, we're not just going to the quality. We're not, you know, we're very mindful to not just go through the motions.
Yep.
We want to impact people. We want to make them better coaches, and we want to, you know, put them in a good position to help, you know, lead the future of the world. And that's what we're doing globally. You know, these are people who will have an impact on our game, you know, for years to come.
I'll tell you what, it sounds like an amazing program. It really does. And you are listening to Baseball Outside the Box. If you're live on Facebook, we're taking a look at your questions. We are on with Joel Araujo, Senior yep. Manager of Major League Baseball International, Baseball Operations Department. We're talking about baseball development when it comes to coaches and players all over the world. Now, Joel, as you talk about the coaches program, you know, one of the things that came to my mind was, you know, you've got coaches. At first, you had coaches come from all over the world. Now you're expanding it to other countries. Yep. You know, a lot of these guys and gals are volunteers, as they are in the U.S., you know, and a lot of them don't have a lot of equipment. So I'm assuming you have to tailor some of these programs on how to run a practice and how to do certain things. Because I remember going to, whether it was Cuba or going to Dominican, and some coaches only had 7 baseballs. And I said, well, how do I run a practice with 7 baseballs?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And you know, I neglected to mention it earlier. One of the things that comes along with the program is we give everybody a development manual that we created. It's a coach's handbook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over 300 pages long. And in there, we provide ways to run practice if all you have is a cricket field, you know, or if all you have, or if you're in a gym. You know, we take that into consideration because you're absolutely right, Pete. In a lot of the places that we run these programs, they don't have the same, you know, resources that we have here in the U.S.
Right.
But like we talked about earlier, we try to provide at least a creative way that they can still get the job done. And we think that it's been very useful. But yeah, the resources are they're not an obstacle that they can't overcome.
Yeah, now I'm looking at Facebook. I've got Greg Prevot. He's a former Belgium national team player. He played for me when I was a Belgium national team coach. And he mentions here, he says, also a big involvement of pro players going back to their community and being able to show proper techniques, mixing it up, having fun with, you know. So I think what he's saying is, you know, you guys are also, you know, training players that in the future will become coaches.
That's exactly right. A lot of the coaches who run through our program are former professional players,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, you know, played up to certain levels in, you know, in the minor league system a lot of times. And you're right. They bring with them a certain amount of knowledge, you know, and experience that we think is invaluable, to coaching that they can provide to the people who they're working with. So yeah, absolutely. Across the board, wherever we run these programs, we have former players and we target former players as well for the reason I just stated.
Yeah. What are some of the things? Now we've got coaches out there. Since I got you on coaches, I think this is going to be great. What are some of the things that you feel when you run this program, you feel coaches struggle with that they really need to educate themselves more on?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that consistently comes up, and it was surprising for me at first, but coaches talk to us a lot about communication. how they communicate with their players, you know. And you know, I'll limit it to Latin America. You know, they're going to communicate the way people communicated to them when they were learning the game.
Sure.
And a lot of times that wasn't the best way.
You know,
so it's, you know, it's foul language. It's lack of patience. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of that. So when I say it's an emotional experience, it's because we hit home on that subject and we talk about that.
Sure.
And we talk about, you know, the coaches who we had and how they impacted us, you know, whether it be positive or negatively, and our opportunity now to kind of fix that, you know, and you know, depending on you can express the same thing to a player, but how you express it is probably more important than what you're saying a lot of times, if you really want them to retain it. So we talk about that as a lot as well. But I think that's probably one of the biggest things that has come up, and it's pretty consistent across the board. You know, communication,
sure.
how you communicate with the young players and the patience, having patience with them when you communicate.
Yeah, you know, and as you know, I mean, you've been in the game a long time. It's a game that can really beat you up, and you can fail a lot. And now for our audience out there around the world, if you got any questions, email us at info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. We'll get back to you right away. We love getting your questions, so don't forget. Also, at Baseball Out, we are on Twitter. Joel, listen, you know, we talk about – I heard you say many times the word fun, and we all want to make sure that these kids are having fun. You know, baseball is a game that, you know – can get boring, can get, you know, slow, you know, kids can, you know, fail, and then they got to go out and wait on the field a long time and think about the failure. But one of the areas that they struggle in a lot, it looks like with coaches, and I'd like for you to just talk a little bit about it, is practice organization. You know, when kids are in practice, that's when it seems to get a little bit boring, because a lot of coaches don't understand how to run a fun, organized practice. Talk about some of the things you talk to your coaches in your courses about.
Yeah, we definitely focus on that. You're absolutely right. You know, you have to know the kids that you're dealing with and their age. And yeah, at that point, you don't want to be sitting around. So we try to teach the coaches taking the course to focus on keeping everybody active.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they structure their practice at the same time, there are ways to do it. You know, even if you're limited resource, even if you have limited resources, even if you have limited personnel. The idea is just to keep everybody doing something at this simultaneously, so no one's just kind of sitting and waiting.
Sure.
And in the coach development program, we do go over you know, specific ways that you can do that. You know, depending on the resources you have, the facility that you're in. But more than anything, I guess just have coaches focusing on that, to make sure that everybody is active at the same time and no one's just sitting around. And I think just by bringing awareness to the coaches that, you know, you can make the practice more fun if everybody's active, I think that goes a long way too, to get them to make sure that they can execute this and have everybody working at the same time.
Sure. And as we talked about earlier, it's a huge undertaking worldwide. And I know Major League Baseball is really doing, I believe, really doing a great job of developing. I listened to the commissioner at a couple events, you know, and fire, you know, it sounds very enthusiastic about developing the game worldwide. And that's exciting, because baseball is going to be back in the Olympics, you know, and hopefully it'll just keep rolling, because the sport will grow. Now, with you guys expanding, you know, worldwide, that means also training your coaches or other coaches to be able to go out and do these programs. What are the plans there? I'd be just kind of interested in hearing that, because that comes down to a country, you know, because I listened to you and I read something. It comes to where, you know, you're sending a coach back to their country, and you're hoping also that coach now helps other coaches in that country.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming you've got to be doing the same thing.
One of the most critical components of our coach development program is the follow-up.
Yeah.
Right. So it's great for us to go into a country for 10 days and we'll train the 30, you know, local, you know, baseball federation coaches. But if we leave and they don't now, you know, follow up and do what they're supposed to do to give back, then it's for naught. So, you know, when we invite these coaches to take this program, we have them sign an agreement. We have them sign a contract.
Wow.
Committing to giving back to baseball in their countries. And you know, we like to be specific about it, so it's not just vague and abstract. And we hold them to at least three clinics in a year. 3 baseball clinics in a year. So each, so all 30 coaches, and they're each responsible for doing 30 clinics in a year. And that's out of, that comes from every program that we do. So we have a person on staff who's, who's one of their primary responsibilities is to follow up with these coaches and to make sure that they are, you know, adhering to their commitment, that the commitment that they made to us.
That's great.
And then at the end of the year, we'll reward the coach who's done the most clinics. So we, you know, we've tried to figure out ways to continue to incentivize these coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we do believe that after we're gone is when the work really begins.
Sure.
So they have to feel a sense of responsibility to their countries. Again, we don't charge for the course. There's an expense obviously attached with putting this together and the flights and all that stuff, but we don't charge the individual taking the course. It's an investment that MLB is making. It's an investment that the respective baseball federations are making in these coaches. And the expectation is that they take that seriously and now give back to the community and train baseball players and coach baseball players as they're coming up in these different countries.
Yeah, I love the concept because it's going to return, you know, 1,000 times when it comes to, one, getting new players to play the game, but you're also getting fans and you're getting future prospects. And, you know, and I'm a big believer. I think the foundation of the sport grows by helping our volunteers here in the U.S. You're now doing it in both. I know that another department does it in the U.S., but you're doing it internationally. And when you've developed all these coaches, you know, there's a lot of countries out there that don't have the program yet. What do you encourage other countries who don't have your program yet to do so that way they at least can continue training their coaches or at least get started, because some of them may not even have a coaching program?
Yeah. So what we find a lot of times when we travel internationally is a lot of baseball federations focus on international competition, which is important. And, you know, it's not a knock, but if they can invest in their coaching a little bit, I think the return, they'll see the return in their international competitions and in baseball growth, you know, in their countries overall.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they can start a program, a coaching program. We can help them. They can reach out. They can reach out to us.
Right.
We're always willing to train coaches. Because again, like for our interest, we think it's just the most efficient way to kind of grow a sport. Those who are not going to become Major League Baseball players can become coaches.
Yep.
And those who are not going to become coaches will be fans. So either way, it's giving back to the sport that we love and it's helping grow the sport that we love.
Yeah, you know what? I'm with you 100%. I think that's how the sport will grow. Now, got a couple questions off Facebook. One of them mentioned women, because, you know, now you have women's baseball. It's getting pretty good.
Yeah.
It's starting to grow. I believe it'll be in the Olympics. Tell us a little bit about that. You know, how does that work?
Yeah, so we've actually had several women in different countries take the course. And in at least a few places, the women coaches were the best coaches of the entire group.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So yeah, so it's something that we think it's important. It's also it's a component to growing the game of baseball. And it's something that we've been doing and we'll continue to do. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're a little bit more sympathetic too, I think, especially with the young kids.
Yeah. No, and they're great. And they're great. And you know, the attention to detail, and at least the women that we've had the experience in these courses are 100% focused on learning and on taking the course and, you know, taking as much from the course as possible. So we've had a great experience. It's been great.
Well, you've also had women playing baseball in your development programs.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. In France specifically, I absolutely remember that we've had women go through our program. So absolutely, that's the case.
You know, and I got to go back, Joel, just on this, because you mentioned, you know, you can play the game anywhere. I'm with you on that too. Boy, you don't need a baseball field. And I want to go back because when I was in the World Baseball Classic in Brooklyn, Pakistan was there. So I was watching them closely. You know, and in Pakistan, they don't have a lot of fields. But yet, they've got a lot of potential, I would assume, because of the throwing motion, because of the cricket, you know, the hitting. Is there goals there, like in that part of the country, to grow the game?
Yeah, I had a conversation with somebody a couple of days ago, and we were talking just about that, you know, the similarities, the hand-eye coordination with cricket, and how we can look at ways to get that to translate into hitting. And so, yeah, so it's still in the early preliminary stages,
sure.
But it's something that we're definitely exploring, because, you know, across the board, we're just looking at ways to continue to grow this game everywhere. And we have a lot of bright people and creative people in our office now, focused on this task specifically. So that, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that this will continue to grow, with the effort and with the focus that, you know, starts from the commissioner, from Commissioner Manfred, on international growth and youth participation. So it's a perfect combination.
All right. We are coming, not to the end. We got a few more questions, and I'm going to try to take a look at Facebook. I see that there's Nikki Tu on there with the Hong Kong Baseball Federation. They do a great job. Nikki, how are you? Glad you're joining us on live on Facebook. They do a great job. I was fortunate enough to be there to run a couple coaching programs. Here's something I wanted to ask you, Joel.
Yeah.
What's your recommendation worldwide when it comes to players, when it comes to, you know, focusing on baseball, but yet also playing other sports?
Yeah, we believe it's important to play multiple sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just on the pitching end. We know that, you know, pitchers need to rest. But just in general, we think that every sport allows you to develop certain abilities that can later on translate to baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just important to have to get kids to be active in general. You know, sometimes when we focus on just baseball at such a young age, it can have a tendency to turn kids off to the sport, you know, and it becomes more of a chore than anything else. When kids should be having fun, they should be playing as many different sports as possible, and then there'll come a time where we'll see, it'll be apparent to everyone which sports they gravitate to, or they're a little bit better at, and at that point maybe we can start focusing on just one sport. But at the very early ages, we're big promoters of just playing multiple sports until you get to an age where now it becomes a little bit more specialized.
That's great. And also, obviously, you're attacking, because, you know, I watch MLB Network every day. What a great network. You can learn a lot just by watching. It's on TV, on my TV all the time in my office. But one thing you've done is you've hired Rick Knapp, former major league player, as your pitching coordinator. And before I start that, I just want to mention, welcome, Kruno Karin. He is the Secretary General of SEP, the European Baseball Federation. Great baseball coach also. Thanks for being on the show, on live on Facebook. You mentioned earlier off the air that you had hired Rick Knapp and he was just in Brazil, and it's, you know, he's heading up your pitching development. That has to be a concern, obviously, with all the injuries that are occurring with young kids. You don't want that to start expanding worldwide also.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. You know, we make sure that our programs follow Pitch Smart, which is a program, a guideline developed with USA Baseball and with our office. And, you know, it's about kind of, you know, making sure that pitchers have their rest period, and monitoring that, because obviously we saw the rash of Tommy John injuries over the last several years. Rick, we brought him in, I want to say late last year, and he's been tremendous. Rick Knapp, you know, his resume is very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers, with the Tigers, with the Twins. And, you know, what he is providing is consistency in our pitching development training across the world. So he's been doing a lot of work with us in Mexico. We have a baseball academy in Mexico. He's helping us in Nicaragua with a couple of, you know, blue chip prospects that we have in our program in Nicaragua. He's now in Brazil. He's helped us in Puerto Rico. He's been to Europe. So yeah, what the wealth of knowledge and experience that Rick Knapp brings to the table is unparalleled, to be honest. And we're very happy to have him and excited over the work that he's doing with us. Yeah.
That's fantastic. And listen, we are coming to the end of the show. Joel, here's what I'd like for you to do, especially for our coaches around the world. Anything, any advice, anything that you'd like to talk about to the coaches? It could be coaches, players, or parents that can help them in the development of the sport, because a lot of them are, you know, as we talked about, some of them play baseball year round, some play multiple sports. You know, we're talking about arm injuries also, you know, being careful with the arm. Is there anything out there that you just want to express that would really help our coaches out there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, The one thing I would communicate is not going to be on the technical side, but I'm a parent, you know, of an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old. So I have to remind myself this, but it's just patience, you know, patience. When we're working with our kids, when we're practicing with our children, whether they're our kids or whether we're coaching them, they're still our kids. I would stress, let's be patient and let's make sure that they're having fun. I think, you know, as we're trying to grow the game, if kids are not having fun, that's a huge obstacle to growing the game.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we want to make sure that they're having a good time. And let's be patient because they'll get it. You know, at some point, you know, it clicks. But you know, sometimes as adults, we want them to get it, you know, on our timeline. But that's not always the case. You know, I look at my 11-year-old, and you know, sometimes I get frustrated. I think he's only 11, and you think back where I was when I was 11, and nowhere, not even close, right? So
yeah.
If there's a message that I can share, it's that let's make sure they're having fun, and let's be patient with them.
Fantastic, and that is Joel Araujo from Major League Baseball, senior manager of Major League Baseball's International Baseball Operations Department. We talked about baseball development when it comes to coaches and players around the world. They are doing a fantastic job. Joel, thank you very much. Keep up the great work. We're glad to see Major League Baseball is really doing an outstanding job worldwide.
Thanks for the invitation, Pete. This was a lot of fun. Appreciate it.
I look forward to seeing you somewhere around the world.
Absolutely.
All right, to all our listeners out there, thanks for being life learners by listening to a show that educates others in the game. We created this podcast to help coaches, players, and parents in the game of baseball to spread the word so others can gain more knowledge. One way is to go to our Twitter, @BaseballOut. Interact with us on Twitter. Go to our Facebook page, baseballoutsidethebox.com. We've got great stuff on there, videos, tips, all kinds of information. You can also go there and purchase my 5-set DVDs with instructional DVDs that helps you run a fun and organized practice. I want to thank all of you on Facebook Live for joining the show. We'll be back soon. Finally, special thanks to, again, Joel Araujo, the senior manager of Major League Baseball's International Baseball Operations Department. I will throw a little comment in there. My apologies if I mispronounce any part of his name. That was my fault. And remember, coaches, education is the key to building the foundation of our sport. So keep getting smarter by listening to the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds with innovative thoughts that love to challenge the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Have a great coaching day, and we'll see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.